Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Bottom Up Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Rachel, Program Director at Strong Towns. Today's guest is Kelly Ray Kirkpatrick. She's a Strong Towns reader and advocate based in Rochester, Minnesota, who owns her own local business, has been very active in food access issues, and was recently elected to the Rochester City Council. She had actually been sworn in just a couple days before we recorded. In this conversation, Kelly discusses what got her fired up about food and farming and how she decided to run for office, plus what that was all like during the pandemic year of 2020. And she talks about how the Strong Towns approach inspires her work. We've been honored to feature a couple of local elected officials on this show now, and it's always great to hear about how they made that journey from advocate to leader. Just last week, we were also hearing from a farmer, and we've had another guest who are involved in food growing and selling. These are just such important building blocks for a strong town, clearly. Access to local food and dedicated, thoughtful local leaders. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to take a second for the folks listening to this who might not be very familiar with Strong Towns and are wondering what this is all about when I reference Strong Towns at the beginning of all our episodes. Maybe you stumbled across this show because someone recommended it, or you just popped in to hear from one of our guests. But Strong Towns is a national nonprofit helping cities and towns across the country become more financially resilient. That's our mission. But Strong Towns is also the name of this movement of people all over the world. We have almost 3,000 members and tens of thousands more advocates who care about making their communities better from the bottom up through incremental action. Our approach to financially resilient growth is rooted in what may seem like a radical model. We do call it that, but it's actually been in use for centuries, maybe even millennia of human history. In this model, we focus on what's going on right in front of us, our neighbors, our neighborhoods, the basic needs that reveal themselves if we look at where people are struggling in our cities. And then we take small steps, testing things out as we go, to shape our communities for the better. We don't bet on huge projects or focus on future growth or base our strategies on abstract theories. We work with our current municipal finances. We adapt over time, and we relentlessly focus on the real people who are impacted by local decisions. And we want everyone to be involved in that decision-making process, not just elected officials, not just people in positions of power, but everyone who lives in our cities and towns. So that's a little bit on what this movement is all about, and you can learn a lot more by visiting strongtowns.org. We've got daily articles, events, trainings, so many more resources for you. We do this podcast because we want to showcase the examples and the stories of this movement in action to help you see that mission taking place all around you. So with that, let's get to my conversation with Kelly Ray Kirkpatrick. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bottom Up Revolution podcast from Strong Towns. Today's guest is Kelly Ray Kirkpatrick, a small business owner, food justice advocate, and newly elected city councilor in Rochester, Minnesota. So welcome to this podcast.
Thanks, Rachel. It's great to be here.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your community that you live in?
I live in Rochester, Minnesota, which is pretty well known nationally and internationally for our award-winning Mayo Clinic. But Rochester is a growing, fastly growing community in southeast Minnesota in Olmsted County. Olmsted County has interesting geology. We're pretty heavily karst-laden on the east side, and we're great farmland, deep topsoil on the west side. So an ag community that's developed through technology with IBM in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and then the Mayo Clinic has sort of overtaken everything as the major industry here.
How did you come to be involved with Strong Towns? Let's start with that. You had commented on an article a while back, and I don't know if you had been reading for a while or following Strong Towns at all before that.
I started following Strong Towns when I became involved with Transition US and co-founded the Transition Rochester group here in Rochester a couple of years ago. So infrastructure is really important to me, reduced energy for resiliency, sustainability, those kinds of things. And Strong Towns just really comes at that from kind of a financial model about you know, what you're doing today, what is it going to cost in the future? What are we really setting us up for as we develop?
And so I know that you've been active on food justice issues in Rochester. Tell us about how you became involved in that and what drives your passion for those issues.
Well, I decided to go back to graduate school a couple of years ago, well, several years ago now, and I couldn't decide between biology and leadership. I wrote a thesis for my Master of Science coursework in leadership, and I did some research also on green waterways, bioretention, that kind of thing for my biology. But my thesis ended up being about increasing food security through urban agriculture. I'm a master gardener, and I've been growing food for, oh golly, 25 to 30 years now. And I live in a close-in core neighborhood in Rochester in a historic home. And when I've moved around, one of the most important things to me is, what's the soil like on the property? Can I grow food on it? So going through a divorce and having to raise my children as a single mom, you know, food's important. And I've always liked good food, real food, healthy food. And as we all know, that's a lot more expensive than some of the food science-based, overly produced products that we can find in a box or that we might just add water to. So I've really tried to up my involvement in the community by establishing community gardens, volunteering my time to help others grow food, involving myself with some of the other groups in town that are about food justice as well for immigrant communities or for handicapped, low access folks. And I first spoke at the Food Justice Summit last fall in 2019, and then also the Sustainable Ag Conference up in the cities. So food justice has been pretty important. I've kind of evolved into it as I was writing my thesis and learning more about it. And we actually just took on writing a grant through University of Minnesota Extension Southeast Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. We received grant funding to do an Olmsted Countywide Food Security Assessment. If you would have looked at the USDA food access maps several years ago, you would have not seen the food deserts here in Rochester, but we have significant impact from, and this is right up Strongtown's alley, significant impact to those from our growing city when the grocery stores, you know, follow the money. They head to the areas where the new suburbs are, and all of a sudden we have no close-in grocery stores for people to shop at to get those things that are important. And I have to say Quick Trip has picked up the slack in that, but you know, a convenience store, even as hard as they try, you just can't meet that the need to the public for, you know, a small grocery. And I can see us maybe going back in time to establishing those smaller neighborhood grocery stores like we had, golly, just, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah. So what led you from working on food issues and, you know, being a parent, all the ways that you're involved in Rochester, to deciding to run for office?
It popped up. It just has been a natural progression of what I've been doing for the last, oh, I don't know, three and a half years. In 2017, I created the Plant a Seed Initiative, which is about educating on the food system and helping people to understand the real behemoth across the globe of the food system and how damaging it is, what are the great things that it does for us. It just involves so many factors of how we live our lives. And as I started teaching and getting to know people and forming partnerships with community gardens, moving into a different neighborhood, I then became the neighborhood association president. And everything just slowly evolved. And it's like all the pieces just fit together like a puzzle. And I interned with the outgoing council member, phenomenal gentleman, Mark Bilderbach. He just retired. And so I interned with him last year in 2019 for one of my graduate courses. And I was only going to run for council if he retired. And he said, yep, I'm pretty sure I'm not running. So I went ahead and filed in May of 2020 and went through the primary, won with a pretty heavy vote, and got 56% of the vote in the general election on November 3rd. And it really is an extension of what I've been doing for so long, serving people, helping others who have a need, and how can I apply my skill sets, my systems thinking to aiding others and bringing groups together to form tighter bonds to do good. It's really what I love doing, Rachel.
Yeah, it sounds like you're very deeply embedded in your community too. So how did the campaign go running, you know, in this strange year of 2020? How was it doing a campaign during pandemic?
It was a little different. You know, a lot of people didn't knock on doors. I only knocked on doors if the door was open or if I saw the people, but I wore my mask the entire time and I pretty much walked the entire ward by myself. I had a couple of volunteers that helped a little bit, but I hit over 11,000 houses. I just discovered the other day that I actually missed 5 houses and I felt so horrible. I was out looking at Christmas lights and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't put flyers in these folks' doors and I felt so bad that I missed these people, but I tried to hit every door. I was about making contact and just seeing where people lived. And, you know, I grew up in Rochester before I left for bigger cities, you know, for college and after college the first time. And so I grew up here. I know my community. I know Southeast Rochester because, you know, I lived here and I've been here for so long. And it was just nice to see all those streets and the diversity that this ward has. So I didn't get too close to people, but you know, if they were outside, I'd hand them a flyer and I backed up. And like I said, I had my mask on and I think people really, really enjoyed the contact. I think there was only one or two folks that said, you know, I'm immunocompromised. Thanks for your flyer. Who are you? I tell them my name. And I think a couple of those people actually said they had voted for me already. So that was kind of nice. But it didn't really change. It didn't change much for me. I had to up my social media game a little bit and got help from some younger folks for that. I'm 56. So, you know, the 40 somethings and the 30 somethings have the social media down better than I do.
Yeah. So then what are your biggest hopes for the first few months in office?
I think we're working on fair and equitable housing. I've actually been able to help with some stormwater management in a subdivision that's on the eastern section of my ward. I happen to be the city's water steward as well, trained for that, and the city subsidized my training for that. I just kind of dove right in on November 4th, Rachel, and you know, got sworn in on Monday, just here on January 4th. And I hit the ground running to just help constituents that need my help. And it really doesn't matter what it is. It's about making connections. And I would really like to see people get more involved. Their voice is important to me. That's who I'm here for. It's not for myself. It's for the people that live in my ward and, you know, all across Rochester, actually. So doing good for the community, doing those projects that will benefit more instead of the few, making sure that people are safe, like I said, fair and equitable housing, really into living and prevailing wages. The legislation just opened. We've got some concerns about phosphorus, but I'd like to add chloride to that list for our water. If we can learn how to really cut back on our consumption, we need to live as if we're actually on a world with finite resources.
So what advice would you have for others who might be thinking about running for office or getting involved in some of the food and farming issues that you've been involved in? How do you get the courage to take that next step?
I think you've just got to put one foot in front of the other. We need good leaders right now. And, you know, the people that don't think they can be a leader sometimes just stand up and they shine above the others. Form a neighborhood association. See if you can get your city to do more public outreach. Just form a group along your block and get people together for a potluck and pick something that you want to talk about. Get involved in really understanding the plight of others. If you've got a neighbor who has less than you do, ask what they need help with. I think those are just really, really key pieces to forming sustainable places to live. We've got to approach things with love in our heart instead of just fear or anger. And because we really are in this together, and leaders emerge from everywhere or anywhere. And coming together with others, forming partnerships is really how we get our best work done. It's not about being an island or a singular individual. It's really about coming together.
Yeah, well said. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for taking the time to share a little bit about your process and your insights from your life and your work in Rochester. Where can people go if they want to find out more about the work that you're doing?
I have a LinkedIn page, Kelly Ray Kirkpatrick. I'm a designer, a digger, a doer, and a disruptor.
That's awesome.
Thanks. You can also find me on my Facebook page, which is Kelly Ray Kirkpatrick. And I think I've got to update my campaign Facebook page. Also on Instagram, I think it's Kelly for Council, number 4. And of course, on the Rochester, Minnesota government website page under City Council, you will find me as the Ward 4 representative.
Well, thank you very much. It was great to have the chance to talk with you, and good luck with your first few months here in office.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I appreciate it.
As always, we welcome your listener emails and voicemails telling us a little about the actions that you're taking to make your town stronger. You can send those to rachel@strongtowns.org. And I'll also let you know that we continue to accept applications for our annual Strongest Town contest. You might not feel like your town is perfect, but is it on the road to getting better? Does it have the building blocks in place to be financially resilient? If so, please enter the contest by visiting strongtowns.org/strongesttown, and you'll have the chance to compete in this fun bracket-style competition and maybe even bring your city to a glorious victory. In closing, Strong Towns is supported by members like you making small donations that enable us to produce this show, to put on events, create educational resources, publish our articles, and so much more. Plus, members get to be part of shaping the future of this organization. We have a lot of ongoing internal conversations with our members, asking for feedback, asking for guidance on what we should be doing next, and they get access to special events and behind-the-scenes things. Support Strong Towns by visiting strongtowns.org/membership. All right, thanks everyone. See you back here next week for another episode of the Bottom Up Revolution podcast.